You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Take one.
Knock, knock.
Who it is?
We're Stephen and Dana, and we can't believe you found our fucking podcast.
We're so glad you're listening to it. We would never listen to it.
I don't even want to listen to it to edit it.
I don't even want to wake up in the morning. We're Stephen and Dana, and we're in the room.
Reindeer
are better than people.
Thank you. Thank you for agreeing.
We're rolling with the homies.
Rolling with the homies.
Yes.
Come yes. on.
Hi, Katrina Newman.
Hi, guys.
We are coming hot off of Halloween.
Oh, we did. We had some costume queens out there.
I am sure you did.
Yeah.
Let us hear it. I mean,
well,
what did we do?
First of all, half the world was your actual queen, Queen Elsa of Arendelle.
Oh, so many Annas and Elsas.
OMG,
YG. So many. I mean, it's continues to be the overwhelmingly popular costume.
You know, I did actually go trick-or-treating with some friends in Connecticut on Halloween evening, and the youngest little girl, little Molly, she wore an Anna dress, the coronation dress, you know, the big embroidery green dress.
Sure.
I was like, "You're Princess Anna?" She was like, "No, I am Green Princess."
Oh, you got served.
I know,
on
I said, "Okay, girl." She looked great. She accessorized herself. She added some green gloves, a green tiara, green wand. She was Green Princess.
I love her. I love that.
She's like, don't call me that.
Come on.
Don't call
me
that.
You yes anded and you didn't correct.
That dress
yeah.
is off the rack.
I feel like
great.
This is the first year that I have not dressed up in my entire life.
At all.
At all. Well, yeah,
I mean,
at all.
We all know you went all out in 2016.
I sure did. And I mean, our listeners have heard that story many times.
I don't know if Katrina has.
I have not yet. What was the big costume of 2016?
Dana went to Bette Midler's Halloween.
Oh, yes.
Yes.
That is good.
It was pre-Bette Midler on Broadway, you know, so now all of my friends go, and, like, I know a lot more people. When I went in 2016, it was, like, me, Kathy Griffin, Mark Jacobs, Debbie Harry.
Casual.
But, yeah.
Just a couple acquaintances.
Casual. Alan Alda, Gloria Steinem.
Gosh.
Honey, it was so great. And it was
That's
like
good.
A witch's theme, so I did kind of like the Hocus Pocus. She went as Hocus Pocus, Bette, which
yes.
was fucking thrilling.
That's all you want to see.
It's thrilling.
That's all you want
to
see.
But this year I'm like, I've gone out my entire life just like to the nines. This year I just want to cook and watch The Shining, which we did.
Perfect.
It was perfect.
Sometimes
nice.
You just gotta stay in. It was
and
a blustery night.
And now I have a nephew.
It was a blustery eve.
It was yeah. a blustery eve. I have a nephew, and my joy now is to see his first Halloween. He went as a little skunk. And
little
now I'm
stinker.
Just like, little stinker. He toots it up.
Yeah.
He's a tutor.
That's adorable.
He's related to you.
Stephen famously hates Halloween. Can I come out and say that?
I don't know that I actively hate it. I have nothing yeah. against those who participate. It's
you
just,
enjoy watching people
right.
dress up.
Yeah.
You enjoy seeing it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm a good spectator usually too.
Yeah.
I
yeah.
like when it gets creative. I like the play on words
yes.
costumes.
I just thought of one, an incredible Halloween costume today. Maybe we should do it next year. I need
no,
to write these
it.
Down.
Right now.
At this time of year. Because some it's like on the brain. I have beautiful ideas. Well, I'll preface it with...
we'll be the judge of that.
I think it's good. We had some Taco Bell catered into my theater the other day. And people were talking about what they ate. And I was like, well, that's a brilliant costume. They were like, what? I was like, picture it. Three women. It could be in drag. Brown beehive hairdos. Lots of sequins, some sort of, you know, dress made out of Taco Bell wrapper, and you are the Crunchwrap Supremes.
What did I just eat? addiction, Steven. What did I...
Bunch of Taco Bell.
I just
did
had
you
a
have
huge
a Crunchwrap Supreme?
Crunchwrap Supreme in my face.
Do you see
the
it, though?
Crunchwrap
I love a plan for Halloween.
They're in a Taco Bell wrapper dress.
That's
you
so
must.
Silly.
Oh, God.
It's so silly. So this... I did dress up this year. Usually I'm with you, Steven. Usually I'm like... Costumes are my life.
Yeah.
I don't need to spend money or put in effort on something for like one night.
All the civilians have fun.
Like all the civilians.
Yes.
Yeah, they're having fun. Yeah. That's work for me. But
Halloween is like straight people drag. You know, it's like when get to have fun.
Right.
It's like gay people
never,
always get to have fun.
Yeah. Regular people.
You guys have fun.
Regular people don't get to do that.
Yeah.
So I called my good friend Kevin Thomas Garcia and I said, I don't want to be such a dud. Do you have some hair I could throw on? I just want to put on a wig. That seems like enough effort,
enough.
Right?
Some hair you
so he gave
on.
Me some hair options, and one of them was a short bob with fangs. And I was like, well, now I've got to get dressed up because I can be Princess Anna Wintour. And I was.
I love your brain. I love your brain.
Thank you.
And you have a gorgeous red curly mane, so the short
put on that
bob is
sunglasses.
Completely, you know, a 360.
The only
fun
purchase that I made was a Vogue magazine.
Worthwhile.
Worthwhile. I put on a, like, sort of Anna-esque color scheme.
Mm-hmm.
Sunglasses, wig, Vogue, that's all you
Done.
Need.
It's a different Princess Anna. Yeah,
so
that.
Silly. We also had in my theater another one of our wardrobe guys did the full Elton John baseball costume in sequins.
Brian
he
Nash.
Made
Brian
it,
Nash,
but he did. I don't think he made it.
But Caleb at my show was Elsa John, and he put Elsa on the back, put a Frozen logo on the front, and had a curly blonde wig.
It's just afraid. What a treat
what
when
a treat.
People have
so
great ideas. What a treat.
We also had a Olaf, like Pimp Olaf. Which
not
was
clear by
you
now.
You guys have fun over it.
Yeah. Works at Frozen.
It's, you know, so much Frozen all the time.
Oh, so cold.
Oh,
we
so cold.
Will talk about it,
but
I do want to keep going on this Halloween thing. I made my first pumpkin. Like, I carved my, I don't know, it was probably like my third carved pumpkin
mm-hmm.
ever.
Yep.
And I did a David Rose from Schitt's Creek, and it kind of turned out well.
It was very well done. And freehand.
And freehand. I did not stence.
It's brave.
Stence free. Stenceless.
Y'all, I highly suggest, if you're sick of your routine, change it up and carve something. It's fun.
Tools.
Get your guts and seeds and that pumpkin innards.
You get it's like
I
you get everything.
Seeds.
You get snacks.
Yeah.
You get some aggression out.
Yeah.
You get a seasonal
it's
decor.
Meditative. It is creative.
Yeah.
You get to play with your food.
Solitary.
It stresses me out.
Oh, yeah. Not
I
a
want
lot
it to be
like
really
it.
Good. And I'm not a carver. Carver?
Not a
carver.
I didn't think I was either. And now I'm starting my own
really
business.
A sculptor.
You're starting a pumpkin carving
I
business.
I totally am.
Year round?
Yep. Year round.
Maybe
okay.
You can carve out, like maybe it's a watermelon in the summer.
Pin in that.
Watermelon carving contest.
Can't
have you ever seen those like in hotels at buffets? Like the gorgeous watermelon art?
Gorgeous. And with that, I love pumpkin beer. I love the fall things that happen, right?
It's perfect.
Like a fall cocktail, like a smoked Manhattan.
Mm.
Oh!
Everything gets a little deeper,
like
a
campfire.
Little spicier.
Yeah.
I like it too.
All Same.
The pumpkin-flavored sweets and treats. I'm into it.
Are you
it.
A pie person?
Love it. But it feels like special occasion, right? Like, it's not always accessible. You can't walk into Starbucks. Starbucks, you can get a scone, a muffin.
Sure.
That's accessible.
Like a baked
but like
good.
A piece of pie? That's special.
Yeah, it is.
You know?
Yeah, like, you're either at a diner, and you're like,
stop
I'll have
it.
A slice
he
of
hates pie.
Pie. I don't hate pie.
Pie?
I will
Halloween?
Pick almost anything else
Oh, my gosh.
Before
we're picking
pie.
Everything that's not your favorite
that's okay.
today.
Listen,
he's open to talking about it, which is why
I
love
nothing
him.
Against pie. I just
right.
pick other things before
First.
It every time.
Even on what's coming up? Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
That's where I really turn a corner, because I don't like turkey.
He hates Thanksgiving food.
So, like, the heart and soul of a Thanksgiving dinner isn't my thing. So I, like, do a chicken. I think we're going out this year. I've never done that. I've never gone to the restaurant and just let it not be my problem.
We're
going to see Frozen 2 on Thanksgiving.
Oh, fun!
On, a, like, the IMAX moment.
Yeah.
And then grab something to eat.
Perfection.
Yeah. Or just order all the concessions at the AMC and call that Thanksgiving dinner.
Popcorn for Thanksgiving.
Pretzel nuggets, french fries. They have everything.
Everything.
So, tell us about your day. You guys, this girl has had a morning.
It's been a great day.
It's it's 4:30 right now and you've already done like 8 million things.
I've done a couple things. It's been great. I started... I've done just two things so far, I feel like, but they've both been great. I got up at that pre-crack of dawn, because it is, you know, we're about to do some daylight savings tonight, so yes, it was real dark when I got
up
this morning.
We're about to fall back.
We are falling back. That extra hour sleep is
sucks.
Needed.
Can't wait.
Sucks. The evening will suck. Yeah, the darkness sucks. But tonight we'll sleep. But I did get up very early and do the Broadway Run 5K to benefit Broadway Cares Equity Fights AIDS, my favorite organization.
The best.
And it's one of the smaller events that Broadway Cares does, but I think we had about 60 runners affiliated with Broadway Cares because it's a big New York Roadrunners race.
Yeah.
It's the race before the marathon. So some people do it as like a warm-up race, because they're going to do the real
thing
tomorrow.
Take the temperature of their body and
right.
see.
Right. For me, 3.1 miles was plenty.
Oh, yeah.
That was plenty. Have fun with those 26.2. I admire it so much.
0.31 miles for me is plenty.
0.31? What?
That's an avenue.
My walk is...
That's plenty for me.
Plenty.
You ever run between fucking
Dylan
7
Bustamante
and 8?
Did it this morning.
He did. I saw him there.
Yes.
He raised a lot of money, too.
I'm sure he did.
He raised a lot of money. The event raised, we're just under $100,000.
That's
amazing.
Isn't that
exciting?
Well done. Another...
Yeah. Really exciting. Yeah. So we did a little run.
It was a gorgeous day.
It was nice and brisk.
Good weather.
Yes. Our little 3-mile course is beautiful. We start around the UN. Run across town on 42nd, past the Chrysler Building, past Grand Central, up 6th Avenue, past Radio City Music Hall.
What a New York morning.
What a New York moment. And then
and
into
you know Radio
Central
City
Park.
Well.
I do know Radio City well after a couple Christmases there.
Couple.
Yeah, and then we get to finish on the marathon finish line. So we get to have that like glorious moment, but without running all day.
Yeah.
So it was great.
That's amazing.
That's Katrina's coupon corner.
Just trim.
Just trim some of those miles off.
Trim some of the fat. I don't, just take away those 23.
Are you a runner?
No.
Okay.
No. So this is like kind of new to me, but I did practice a bit.
Amazing.
Like, you know, train-ish.
Yeah.
Yeah. I didn't want it to feel terrifying.
You don't want to shock the system.
I really wanted to win my...
You guys, she just got really scary.
You guys.
I really wanted to win.
One of the cast members of Frozen, Bobby Creighton, he is very competitive, and he was sure that he would win. He was right. He did win. But I did try really hard to, you know, I gave him a run for his money. No pun intended.
Great.
Yeah. Yeah. I was about 35 seconds behind him. Yeah.
You made him earn it.
So we'll take it.
I'm going to the New York City Marathon tomorrow.
Yeah,
to
where
cheer
are you
on some
cheer?
Friends. I have no idea yet.
Great.
But
it's going
to
be exciting.
I'm excited to watch it.
It's really awesome.
I get a little like emosh when a lot of people are doing something together for good.
Yeah.
Let's put that in there. Like singing together, like a whole bunch of people doing. I just get like chills.
Yeah. It is.
The Super Bowl. Like, I don't know. Like,
right.
I don't care. But
people drinking together. Yes.
Yes, actually. Like.
It doesn't have to be your bag, but to see like that many people from all walks of life. Do the thing that they all love for the sake of doing the thing that they love and like helping out a good cause in the meantime.
Right. Or just for the sake of like doing it, right? That's what I think is amazing about the marathon is it is pretty much purely a test of will.
It's
that doesn't feel great
too,
for anyone. I can't imagine. Maybe it feels great for somebody. I can't imagine that it feels feels good. It, like, puts your body through some major stress, and it's hard. It's really hard. But you just keep running. You just keep
everyone
running
around
for
you wants
hours.
You to do well.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's amazing. It's like a mind game.
It is. I was just thinking that. It's such an individual. People are running for so many different reasons, and that's what you realize too. Like, I know a friend of mine who's running tomorrow is going through some really hard stuff.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, I know why you're running, and that's going to be times a billion. Right. So I love it. You know, I love it.
It's palpable. Exciting. It's that energy of.
Yeah, it's one of my favorite days. Here we are. York. It's such a New York City.
The Pride Parade.
Day.
You know, when everybody gets out of their freaking apartments.
Loves each other. Love. That's the thing too about the marathon is like strangers cheering for strangers.
Yeah,
it's so exciting. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
yeah,
it's great.
Even the Halloween, like seeing all the kids and all the people who like, I don't know who lives in these apartments. Oh, now I do because they're all sitting on their stoop with the treats. They're like elderly. I live in Astoria, so it's all like these you know old Greek ladies and men who are just like. Sure. Oh, hi, guy! Like, hi, neighbors, and just people going up
just
to each
that
house.
Common denominator with a mass of people.
Tonight we get to do this.
Yeah,
and it's special. Oh, I love it.
It's Comic-Con. It's all those things. It's just people congregating to do their thing.
To do their thing.
It's Penn Station. Okay, I stop.
Oh boy.
Port Authority. No,
it's Port Authority. I'm drunk.
I want to know more about your job, and I want listeners to know more about your job.
Thanks,
You are a dresser at Frozen on Broadway.
Frozen on Broadway,
Which is a whole brand. I mean, it's one thing to work on Broadway, but add in the Disney layer of that. And the Frozen brand. Frozen was, in my opinion, like the biggest Disney movie musical to blow up the way that, like... Little Mermaid did, and Aladdin did for us.
But now it's in the Frozen, as opposed to Little Mermaid, is in the social media age.
Correct.
So now we get to see Elsa's from around the world, like, go viral on Ellen. Yeah. You know, it's just like, there's a whole different layer.
There is, yeah. It's just, it seems to have really touched people, or kids love it. It just, like, permeated everything. Mm-hmm. There is an acquaintance of mine that has kids that don't watch TV or movies, but I think just from their four-year-old social lives, they know what Frozen is.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They came to see the Broadway show before they ever saw the animated feature, and they already knew what it was. You know? It's just...
so crazy.
It is this, like, cultural moment that these sister princess queens are, like, ruling the world.
How did you...
Sister Princess Queens. I'm not going to let that slide. That was amazing. That's the title of this episode. Okay. Make a note. Stephen made us little, what are they? Little notebooks?
Well, because I got sick of, like, this shit and, like, borrowing your post-it pad to, like, scribble something that I would lose.
It's all about him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But we have our names on it and everything.
Yeah.
And this way it won't get lost and I'll know where to find it.
It's so official.
Yes. So I've been, on the wardrobe team at Frozen since we started tech in New York. Some of the team and the cast had been in Denver first. That was the out-of-town tryout. But we started in the theater last January 2018. So I'm approaching 2 years with this show.
Wow.
Which is, I think, the longest I've ever had a job.
Amen!
Yeah!
Amen! And you didn't go to Denver?
No.
You were
wasn't involved there. They had... supervisors and some of the principal's dressers, but a local crew there.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So most of us joined in New York.
I have a question.
Yes, please.
What does a dresser do?
Dressers are at the show for every show. So we are there through the run of a show to maintain the costumes and set up quick changes and assist in all of the ons and offs of costumes, keeping them clean, maintained, and together, so those actors are safe and dressed.
Yeah.
I don't think that's a good answer.
No,
but
that's a great answer, and I have so many other questions.
Okay.
I did, like, I went to school for theater acting in college, and that's kind of where it stayed and died. Right, so I haven't done it on Broadway or off Broadway here at all.
Right.
So it could be very different.
So
costumes, is there one per person or are there a couple? Are you doing laundry every night? How do you do all that?
So it's different. So on our show, we have 12 full-time dressers. I primarily dress the female ensemble, but then just like... the acting company has swings and coverage within the ensemble. They would bump up to principal roles. I also will bump up to do some principal dressing. So I know a few other tracks within the show.
You have, like, costume tracks.
Yes. Yeah. And it's all choreographed.
Yeah.
Backstage and... in the, you know, in the rest of the space.
You're not touching every costume. You have yours that you know.
I have mine, and I'm, like, primarily in charge of 3 of the 10 ensemble, female ensemble members.
That is news to me.
Yeah.
That's crazy. That's great.
Yeah. So it just keeps things a little bit more organized. Everyone kind of has a department or a group of people that they look out for the most. Okay. We all have our hands on many things. You know, I'll do changes with men, I'll do changes with the kids that are in the show, but for the most part, when I, like, hang out in the dressing room, I'm with the female ensemble and with my 3 ladies, mostly.
Would you say that 12 dressers is a lot on one show?
It's a big crew. Yeah, we have a very big cast. I think the cast is 42. That includes the children are doubled because of child labor laws. We have swings and standbys and the reindeer, since it's really physical, that actor is doubled. But we have 42 actors in the company, which is a lot. And the ensemble that's on stage is 20. So there are 6 dressers just for the ensemble, and then the other 6 have principals, children, or puppets. Yeah.
How does it all fit in the St. James Theater, which is, you know, it's an older house. It's
barely.
Yeah.
She says gleefully.
I would say it's probably the biggest challenge is the spatial constraints of the theater.
Because your costumes are also not small.
They're not small. We have huge hoop skirts and ball gowns. Yeah. They did a big renovation on the theater for Frozen, but all they gave us was space to have a cross under. Is basically this, like, multi-million-dollar renovation blew out the back wall of the theater so that we can get from stage right to stage left, which is, you know, pretty necessary.
Sure. Worth the money.
Yeah. So we're real tight in there. There's not much space for anything. We don't have a green room in the theater. There's nowhere really to go and hang out. It's fun that the wardrobe room has kind of become that. Because there is a room for the supervisor's offices and our full-time stitcher and where laundry gets put away. And it's become the place that, like, a meat and cheese plate will be out for everyone. And, you know, people kind of come in to hang out during intermission or whatever.
That
so it is kind of the social hub. Yeah.
What does surprise me about that is, God forbid, that meat plate ends up on a costume.
No. They're in the robes for intermission. Robes for intermission. Never eating in costume.
Never.
Yeah.
A robed mish.
Yes.
How did you come to join Frozen?
You know?
Like, how do dressers get those jobs?
It's,
I guess, is the bigger question.
Yeah, I think it's a lot of personal relationships. So it sort of is a trickle-down effect, I guess. A lot of times, certain costume designers will have wardrobe supervisors that they like working with because the design team is only in the picture through tech. You know, they build the costumes and make sure everything looks the way they want it, but then they kind of step away from the show, and the wardrobe team is who maintains the look, will sometimes be in charge of getting costumes ready for replacement actors or new understudies or that kind of thing. So the designers will usually choose a wardrobe supervisor that they know and trust, and then the supervisors are able to hire who they like.
Awesome.
Yeah. My supervisor is amazing. Her name's Jessica Dermody. She's young, female, badass. She's a dancer first, so she treats the actors with love and compassion and wants to make them feel taken
care
of. She
knows.
She gets it.
She gets it.
Which you know as well.
Yeah. Yes. And I feel, I have a similar background that, like, I get how hard they're working, singing and dancing and doing the show 8 times a week, and they get to do what they do really well, and we get to make sure that the only thing they have to worry about is doing their show. You know, shoes are going to be ready and feel good and safe, and we'll talk about that. Costumes will be ready. They just, They don't need to worry about any of that, which is, I think, the big difference from college theater or community theater.
Yeah.
Or even regional theater.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, is that they really, they don't have to touch or think about anything else except mm-hmm. for doing their jobs.
I mean, in cool. all of those kinds of instances, it is kind of like all hands on deck. It's
yeah, like, of course.
You do some of this part, or there's only yeah. one person who does everything, or
right.
Everything seems kind of more streamlined on Broadway.
Yes.
The thing that I love, like, we've gone backstage a lot right after the show. 2 seconds after that curtain comes down, that whole backstage area is clean as a whistle.
Clean and clean finished. Yeah.
And finished. Put and it's away. Like birds chirping and a hay bale. And it's like, wait, what yeah. just happened on that stage? Where is everybody? This thing should look like my apartment on a Saturday morning. Like, this should look like shit. And it's all just like, everything's put in place. Yeah. And then it's like, oh my God, it was magical.
Yeah.
It's magical.
Yeah.
And I'm always just completely like blown away by that.
Yeah.
Props, costume, like whatever it is.
Back it's
like,
in its place, day is done. Yeah. yeah.
Everything's choreographed.
Everyone wants to go home.
And it's a job.
And there's that it's a too. Job.
It's and a there's job. No wondering where anything goes. Everything
has a labeled place. Spike marks, labeled shelf, labeled costume rack, right? Everything mm-hmm. just goes away.
Yeah.
The wardrobe team is the are usually the last crew members to finish. The local one guys, so that's props and carpenters, electrics. As soon as they finish their last cue, they're finished. Sound has to stay to collect microphones
and
that kind
that.
Of thing. But like the deck
the
crew,
yes.
they're done. Out. We take costumes off of the actors, sort laundry for the end of the night, and yeah. so we have like 15 minutes after the show that we can work before it goes into overtime. So they want to get us out because nobody wants to pay for overtime.
Yeah.
So we have 15 minutes after the show, we get to get out of there too. It's
yeah.
great.
What other shows have you worked on?
Yeah, so just before Frozen, I did a Christmas at Radio City.
Love.
Which was great.
How is dressing at Radio City for the Christmas Spectacular different than dressing a Broadway show?
For me, I think it was different because it is this historic, long-standing production that I stepped into new, where I dressed Rockettes that had been doing it for many years. A lot of the other dressers had been there for decades. So I didn't have a bigger picture of like where I fit in at all. But I just knew where I needed to be, when I needed to be there. And you kind of just stay in your lane. That's all you need to know. It's just when to transport racks, at what time you call the elevator operator, because there's someone manning that elevator. So
get friendly with whoever that is.
Right? And it's just that much bigger. Going from stage right to stage left is a city block. You're mm-hmm. either on 50th or 51st Street. It's nutty. And I was also, they split the Christmas show because the season is short. So they have many shows per day. So they split it into two separate casts and wardrobe
yes.
crews. You have the Blue Company and the Gold Company. And I was part of the Blue Company, which is like the daytime cast. So that was a nice deviation from
sure.
my regular schedule that I got to, you know, sometimes we had those real early calls, like 7:30 a.m., which is not normal theater hours, you know, and a 9 a.m. Radio City Christmas Spectacular. But
wow.
I would get to leave early,
mm-hmm.
eat dinner with a friend. Have happy
Since
hour.
When?
Can
That's
you
crazy.
Imagine?
I can't.
I know.
I simply can't.
So to be working and eating dinner, it was really exciting. It's really exciting. Yeah.
And to know that it's this chunk of time each year.
Yeah, totally. Just
and you don't have
limited.
To sign your life away.
You don't sign your life away. You're just gonna do a lot of Christmas for
you.
Your
can
weeks.
Hop. You can hop.
Yeah.
Are you? Christmas. Is there a union or are you freelance or what's
I
that?
I am a member of the Wardrobe Union. It is an IATSE local. So IATSE is. You should really know what that acronym is standing for.
We'll fact check this.
The International.
Did you put your phone in my backpack?
Yeah.
That's a curious
I needed it to not buzz on the wood, and my backpack was for International Alliance of Theatrical Stage Employees.
Yes, international.
Wow. Hear that in the rumors?
The International Alliance of Theatrical Stage Employees. That's what I am.
So you're part of that.
I'm part of that. Local 764 is the wardrobe union, and I'm also a member of acting unions. I'm an equity member and a SAG-AFTRA member. Yeah, it's been really wonderful.
Yeah.
My first wardrobe job was doing Dames at Sea, that Broadway classic that lasted on Broadway for...
I loved
it. A hot second. It was such a blessing for me because sure. The reason I got the job, I had never done wardrobe before, and they were hiring a non-union crew, which is atypical for a Broadway show, but because they were in the Helen Hayes and it's the smallest Broadway house, there's some sort of workaround for that. So they were hiring a non-union crew.
Loopholes galore.
Yes. But it was still a great rate. It was more than I'd ever made as an actor. I felt great about it. But 764 stepped in and said, we don't think any Broadway show should have a non-union crew. Can we advocate for you and help you join our union?
Wow.
And then how did that happen? Do you have to take a test? Do they show up at your door?
They showed up at my door.
Do they give you a theater door?
There's like, a timed sewing test.
There is an oath moment.
Is there an oath moment?
Yeah. Something like, do no harm. You know.
Like, hands on the sewing Bible.
There is a swearing in, yes.
First, do not run your finger through the sewing machine.
Right. Don't hurt anybody. No. There is a swearing in, which is cool. That usually happens at membership meetings.
A sewing in?
Yes. Yeah, they came to
us. I don't know how things work. It was great. I truly don't know how people join things.
Yeah.
If you're asked.
I don't think that is maybe the typical way that it happens.
Mm-hmm.
That was my way. And I felt it was great. I knew those people. Like, I got to meet people that were involved in the union where I don't really know any of the actors' unions, higher-ups, you know?
Let's go farther back, if we can.
Yes.
Where'd you grow up?
I'm from South Jersey, a small beach town called Cape May.
I've been to Cape May.
She's nice, right?
She's nice. She's the tip.
She's the tip.
She's a super tip.
You may remember Cape May from our Kevin Thomas Garcia episode.
Yes, my bestie. My Broadway
bestie.
Can
I just say that it was not lost on me that you and he were working across the street from each other on Broadway.
What a dream.
Together.
Yeah. I've known Kevin since his dad was in the Coast Guard, so they moved to Cape May when he was going into the 7th grade. Which I think would have put me in 4th, because he's older. And
I can do that.
I was in the same grade as his younger sister, and then Kevin ended up dancing at my dance studio, so I've known him forever. And he's the hair supervisor at Hadestown. For a little while I was at Frozen, he was at Anastasia, and we were just living those Broadway dreams. Like, not exactly as we expected it, right? We both had these big performance dreams.
Yeah.
But I think we've landed exactly where we're supposed to be.
Let's go into that.
Yeah.
Because I don't know anything about your story.
Right.
So,
So I moved to the city. Actually, I just had my New York-iversary.
How many?
Which one?
18.
Oh, my God.
I'm a New Yorker as long as I lived in Cape May.
Isn't that crazy?
So I moved to New York when I was 18 to dance. I just felt really clear and sure. Isn't that funny that youth will do that to you? Like, I felt really sure that that was exactly what I needed to do.
It's a blessing and a curse,
right?
Isn't it?
Yeah. So I moved here. I sublet Kevin Garcia's room in Harlem. That was my first apartment while he was out on that non-act tour of Footloose. I had my first room, and it was like a very recently post 9/11 New York, so the city was different, but I had no point of reference. Like, I didn't know that normally there are auditions every day, and there were no auditions, and just everything was a little bit quieter. But I came and danced and did some regional theater, some small dance company stuff in the city for several years. Until, womp womp, I tore both ACLs. Those knees. She had it. And that was in a world in which you didn't have to have health insurance. And I was an actor. actor. So I had that no health insurance, but thank goodness for the Actors Fund, which is why I love raising money for Broadway Cares. Look at how it all turns around. Yeah, I got help through the Actors Fund. Anyway, had ACL surgeries.
On both at the same time?
No, or? They can't do it at the same time. So they were my surgeries were about 6 months apart. I injured one knee. Didn't get it diagnosed because I was like, I'm sure if I just rest and I'm fine. Because
that's what dancers do.
I'll be fine. This is weird that my knee, my leg keeps like,
wrap
buckling.
It up. I said, like, keep an eye on it, but I'm not telling anyone and yeah. I'm going to continue to dance my house
off. Totally. That was my plan.
Yeah.
Until my body was like, hey girl, no, you can't do that because you're overcompensating with that other leg. And so she's going to bust too. So I had two torn ACLs before I realized what was wrong. Had surgery on both at about 6 months apart, but in that time, I don't even know exactly how it came to me, but I just didn't want to waste time. I just thought it was, I couldn't dance. I thought it was a good time to learn something new.
Yeah.
And I had always been sort of crafty being a dancer, right? You need to sew the elastic onto your ballet shoes. You need to sew an applique onto your dance
costume.
You're
a drag queen.
Right.
You know what I mean?
I was a teenage drag queen.
When they go on RuPaul's Drag Race, they're like, if you don't know how to sew, get out of here.
Right.
Like,
so I had some like hand sewing mini skills. I wasn't afraid of it.
Mm-hmm.
And I just wanted to be able to, my goal really was to be able to make myself dance clothes. So there wasn't anything available really. You could either wear like the same leotard you wore to like baby's first ballet class as like a 25-year-old. You know what I mean? It was like you go to Capizio or you wear like Lululemon wasn't even around yet. Yeah. You know, you either wore
that
like
big block store in 72nd.
It was like the block store. It was maybe like an American Apparel skater dress, that like kind of look. So I just wanted to be able to make dance clothes. So I took a couple classes at FIT and started to learn how to stitch on spandex. It's my medium.
Which I'm amazing. A byproduct of your medium because
my
now that's the easiest for me
right?
to work with.
It's great.
I think
it's super forgiving. When stuff is structured, you can't move it around. I'm like, ooh, that makes me nervous. You have to measure. You have to be perfect. Spandex, just stretch her into shape.
Yeah.
So you learned a trade. You buffered up on a trade for yourself, not necessarily being like, oh, I'm going to change my whole career trajectory.
Yeah.
Right?
So
it just kind of worked out.
It just kind of worked out.
The opportunities aligned.
Yeah. That was exactly it. I had started sewing. And then started doing some dance costumes for some competition kids at the dance studio where I grew up in Cape May, Jersey Cape Dance and Gymnastics Academy.
Shout out.
Gorgeous.
Yeah. So it was nice to be able to stay in touch with that world. And I started building their costumes. And I sort of just stopped having time to audition. It was a really natural transition. That didn't even quite feel like a transition, right? Like,
that's gorgeous.
My time just started being full with other things that were exciting also.
Yeah.
And I was nervous a little bit about wardrobe stuff because I wasn't sure that I was totally finished being a performer. And I didn't know how I would feel like turning sweaty tights right side out and pulling a G-string out of them if, like, I sort of still wanted that job. Mm-hmm. Right? That wouldn't
so
maybe
fair.
Feel great.
Yeah.
But it turns out it does feel great because it feels good to support people doing the thing that I also love. Right? I feel good about not being the one on stage. I love the whole world.
Yeah.
I love the world. And I love that I can be the support for people that are really good at it and doing it now. Yeah.
Look at you.
Yeah.
I love your energy. I just love that. I love that is in you because as a performer who is now not doing that and hasn't done that for 10 years, I don't think it leaves. It's somewhere in there.
Yeah.
It's stirring around and it comes out in other ways. Maybe it comes out in your personality. Maybe it comes out in, I don't know, in your work, in
of course,
whatever's happening. Maybe in this podcast. You know,
for
like
sure.
This is definitely like an outlet.
Yeah.
But I do. It's such an interesting thing because it's definitely something that's in there. And it was interesting when you said, "Isn't that curious?" When you're little, you think that dancing was going to be my life.
Oh, for
sure. Little do little people know that
right.
life happens.
Life happens.
There are bills. There are things. And it's like, yeah, if I could just dance and not have to pay rent or just go dance in the countryside. Great.
Great.
That's still something that lives in there.
Yeah.
I just love the conversation because it's so nuanced and it goes to different parts of your brain and it comes out in different ways.
Yeah.
There's so many people out there.
I went to
college with Drew Hollenbeck, who like was a performer. Like we do karaoke. Like maybe it's karaoke. Like there needs to be something that gets you off in that same way. And it might be creative. It might be just being in the world. It might be being a bartender.
Well, I think it makes you also a little bit more valuable at anything you do, right? I have said about this transition into the wardrobe world that, you know, I didn't really have experience. It was new to me. And I was amazed that the fact that I am pretty pleasant, I'm like, show up on time, I work when I'm supposed to work, that is valued.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
That a lot of people, maybe like muggles in the workforce, you know, I don't really know. Maybe that's not a normal skill set, but I feel like that was what my strengths were as a performer too, that like, I will work really hard. I'll go home and study my music. I will study those dance steps. I'll be ready for the next day. But you can't always show that in an audition setting.
Yeah.
Right? So that doesn't necessarily get you work.
Yeah.
Unless you have established relationships that the same people are hiring you. But in the technical side, on the crew side, that's valuable.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that you kind of have to love theater a little bit to do it, to want to work every night and every weekend and be in a basement. I work in a basement. Like, it's really actually not that glamorous.
You get to smell the theater every day.
I get to smell the theater every
day. I would bottle that up.
Yeah.
You know?
I love it.
I'd burn that candle from all three wicks.
Oh, a three
teal wicks? I made it.
You sure Broadway did? You made a little Broadway joke.
Cute.
Good for you. I want to circle back to something you said minutes ago, tens of minutes ago. You mentioned swinging, and I want to talk about how that's different on the performer side, where there are hired swings to cover specific things, and that's it. On the other side of the curtain, there's a lot more flexibility within all of the theaters to step in and learn another show, cover somebody so they can have that wedding.
Yeah, it's a real blessing. It's one of the things I sort of like most about not being on stage is that there's coverage and availability. And for the actors, you know, for our show, we have two female swings for an ensemble of 10. The swings are in the building every night. They clock in, they're available and ready to go, whether they are on stage or not, whether they jump into a role or not. For crew, there is some internal coverage. Like I mentioned, I will bump up to cover the dressers that dress our Princess Anna and Queen Elsa. So I'll cover either of those tracks, and then someone else will cover my normal track. And these are people that aren't in the building all the time. There are sort of subs, our coverage, super valuable. And maybe they swing at a couple of different shows, or they know my female ensemble track and a few other tracks within the show, so they can kind of bump around to a few places. And so that's really lovely, especially with a great boss that, like, wants us to be happy at work and wants us to have lives outside of work. If there's coverage available, she's very generous with time off, which is great. I feel like I've said for my whole life, I've had to say no to every birthday party, family dinner, all of those kind of things, because I work nights and weekends. But I've been able to do that. I've been able to do that finally, to have a family birthday dinner for my 8-year-old nephew, and I can show up, you know, which is
the sacrifices performers especially make on Broadway is incredible.
It's huge. They have to be at work.
Yeah. When everyone else is off,
they're doing that show.
It's like, wait, you're not available for dinner. Great.
Yeah.
And you've done your fair share of swinging. Yes? Am I remembering that right?
Yes. I've learned a few of them.
You did some Something Rotten.
Yes.
Time.
I did a little Something Rotten. I learned a couple.
Sue Craig's favorite Broadway musical.
Oh.
My mom. I need to shout that out. She loved it.
Okay, Sue.
Loved it.
Yeah. It, I don't know that swinging is for me.
Mm-hmm. That was talk my
about
question.
It. Talk about it. Oh, I'm a nervous person. I like to be good at things. Ooh, yeah, I get sweaty. So yeah. One of the biggest differences that I found between being on the crew side and actor side is that as a crew member, you get 3 shows to learn the track. You follow the dresser for one and just observe, and they make it look so easy. They make, because they've done it every day. They know exactly where the hook is, where the zipper is, bim, bam, boom, you're off. So you watch it once and you're like, oh, that doesn't seem too bad. Then you get your hands on costumes, on actors that are, you know, it's just, it's crazy. You're in the dark. Mm-hmm. You have a bite light in your mouth. You're trying to look at notes.
You need to wear a GoPro. No, I'm just wearing, like, put a GoPro on your head for that first day and just, like, record everything.
Record it all. It's a good idea. Yeah. It's illegal, though.
Is it real?
You can't film
and crazy,
shows
you're not going
backstage.
Home and watching that on
I
your
mean,
account.
I'm not uploading it to YouTube, but it would be a good study guide. But, yeah, no GoPros. People are naked.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
Totally forgot about that. So, like, that's illegal, darling.
Yeah,
ladies and gentlemen, can't do it. Dana Craig.
She wanted that good video. But yeah, so we get one chance to run the show with our hands on things, and then we get a go with the person whose track it is kind of trailing you to avert crisis, but you're kind of on your own, and then that's it. It's on you. Don't ruin the show. Don't ruin Broadway. Good luck.
Don't ruin Broadway.
And the stress, just because I am a perfectionist, I take things seriously, it's really stressful for me. So I've done it, and when I need a job again, I'll probably do it again. That's kind of how you can get your foot in the door with a show that's running, you know, running before you're involved.
Have you found that the actors are understanding of, I'm doing my job and my show, and I know what I'm doing, but there's this new person that does have to learn it at some point, and this is the best way we figured out how.
It's a place that I would love to learn to teach a little bit more compassion.
Oh, yeah. What is your grant, like, a wish?
Oh, a wish.
For a person in your field that you're like...
That's a great question.
We're not naming names.
I guess I do wish, that there was a little more unity in the whole company of shows. I feel like sometimes, of course, our jobs are all different. The energy that we all expend is a bit different. But... sometimes I feel like it's easy to forget that, like, we're all there all the time. We're all working hard. And wardrobe folks tend to stay with wardrobe folks, and carpenters stay with carpenters, and actors stay with actors. And I sort of wish it was just, like, all a bit more understanding of, like, we're just all coming to work, and everyone's doing their best. And at the end of the day, no one's dying. No one's, like, saving the world. It's just a musical. You know? It's just like, how lucky are
we
all to have
these
jobs?
Like, it's just TV.
Right.
What?
Yeah, it's all going to be okay.
What's anyone mad about?
Right.
What a great transition, because I was going to talk about dressing these iconic girls for all the television appearances.
Oh,
that
yes.
Obviously any show will do their fair share of television press.
Right.
But adding on, A, the Disney name, and B, the Frozen name.
Yeah.
Again, I mean, you guys are constantly on TV. And, I'll never forget the first time Let It Go was on TV, was on The View in the theater.
In the theater, yeah. They came in to film in our theater.
I mean, how does that stuff affect your job?
Right. Well, it depends. It kind of, for a lot of our press, it's only those main girls. Sister, Princess, Queens. And most of had to go back. Most of the time, I'm not there.
Great.
I did Casey Levy, beautiful, wonderful, as kind of heart as she is talented. Casey Levy was, her dresser was out of town for a few scheduled days off when a press appearance came up, so I got to go with Casey to a Good Morning America appearance. And it's great, and it's just get them into costume and help them do their job, right? Because it's like all different. It's all different environments and sort of technical elements and all of that. So we're just there to assist, pass a water bottle, keep them hydrated, keep them happy.
And then when it's over, though, I mean, there's work to be done at the theater. That costume then has to be, like, cleaned again.
Yeah.
And
Just a little bit of extra, a little extra switching out of those, you know, maybe armpit pads. You know, we put that little pit pad in so you don't have to wash the costume every time.
I love that. Backstage at Kinky Boots, they had the vodka water bottle.
Oh, yeah.
Do you guys have that?
I have that in my closet.
We have beautiful vodka mist. Some we put a little lavender essence in also. It's really nice. Vodka is, the alcohol is like just enough alcohol content that it's an antibacterial, but it doesn't degrade the fiber.
Is
like,
it just vodka, or is it usually, vodka water mix?
It varies. Okay. I've heard some costume people are like, do not put straight vodka. That's too strong on costumes, whatever. And then some people are like, kill those germs. Make it smell good, straight vodka. So I think it just depends.
Tricks of the trade. Do you have any more tricks of the trade?
Let me think. Tricks of the trade. Tricks of the trade. What would
that
someone...
That muggles wouldn't know?
That's a great question.
Here's one thing I'll add.
Okay, hit us.
Steam your clothes, people.
Why are you looking at me?
Just because Steven has a t-shirt on. I'm sorry, we're ladies. I don't know. It's a funny thing. Like, even circling back to Halloween, all these, like, beautiful superheroes and princesses with capes and stuff, and they had the, like, square package lines, like, that had just came out of the package. And I was like, oh, just a little handheld travel steamer.
Record,
and you would
have. I don't think this shirt is wrinkled today.
No, you guys both look gorge, beautifully,
beautifully
dressed. But I don't know. It's a, like, blessing and a curse that now that I do have these little tricks, I'm like, I want to wear the skirt, but I'll have to press it. You know, like,
yeah.
Oh, this, I'm wearing all my black, you know, show blacks, and I really need to lint roll these. Like, I just, like, can't anymore just go out into the world unprepared.
Sure.
Gotta prep that outfit. Gotta prep my life costume.
Prep your life.
Prep your life.
I'm guessing we're not going to get much of an answer because Disney would get mad.
Because Disney.
But what hashtag?
We love Disney. We love Disney, but it's just, you know, it's like, you know, you bow down.
Yeah, but there is magic, and we all secretly want to know, like, how the strings get pulled.
Yeah,
there's
that
some
magic
very
dress.
Cool costume magic that happens.
There is some really cool costume magic.
And, like, not every show has costume magic. This right. one famously has costume magic.
Come from away, I don't think has much costume magic.
No, there's parkas and...
Get into it.
And I love Come From Away. I think it's the most beautiful show ever. And I have a friend that lovingly calls it Sears Catalog the Musical. So it kind
it's
of
perfect.
Looks like
well,
that.
I mean, and talk about choreography. Yeah. I mean, that is tightly choreographed... And I'm sure there's some quick changes, but I don't know, maybe not.
Because there are all so many different characters,
yes.
I'm sure, yeah.
So I guess my question is, you know, without naming strings, would you be able to agree that the innovation behind these costumes to make that magic happen seemingly effortlessly is cool even to a professional?
It's really cool. It's really cool, and it is, like,
that
one
if you
of
had
the,
to make
well
that,
done,
like,
Steven.
Drag costume for somebody, and you're
oh
like, how would I do it? How would I do it? And then being on this other side of a Disney musical
right.
with a Disney budget with Disney costumes and
thing.
Seeing how it's really done.
Yeah, it's cool, and it's, you know, the magic. I usually say that theater magic is usually, if it looks high-tech, it is probably, like, a man with a prop on a stick, right? Like, it is...
Sure.
Generally, theater is the lowest tech, which is, like, what I love.
Sure, that's what I love about...
A lot of it comes down to lighting.
Yes.
That's what I love about going backstage. You go up and you're like, oh, I saw that set piece and I thought it was the coolest thing in my seat. And you go up and you're, wait a minute.
Yeah.
Wait a
Just
minute.
Simple.
It's
but
simple.
These magical costumes have more elements than I've ever seen in costumes. And it's some really brilliant construction.
Is there costume tech before the show to...
Yep. There's a lot that needs to be tested for safety and magic. I can't reveal.
Great.
Sure.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
I would
sure.
like a t-shirt that says tested for safety
and magic. Yeah.
Reindeer
are better than people.
Thank you. Thank you for agreeing. is there a couple of those costumes? Do you have to groom
Is there
him?
More than we think?
Is there more than we think?
Are there more than?
Are there more
are,
than
yeah.
we think?
Are there?
Good God.
Two different actors play the reindeer it is only one man in the reindeer mm-hmm. costume slash puppet.
And God bless. I mean, oh my God. Bless.
Your show posted a cool Instagram like flipbook moment
yeah.
of how that Woo!
Because
happens.
It's because of the way it appears. So it's beautiful. Really hard to envision how there's mm-hmm. one man in there.
He's the hardest working man in show business. I tell you so, what.
And his face is never even seen.
You not know? Even for the bow.
No.
Still not for the bow. I saw it, I think, opening night or something. Yeah. Yeah.
Nope. Nope. Great.
It's magic, done.
Right? Like, it's like at the parks, you never see a costume character flip yeah. up their head like the trash Elmo's in Times Square, you know?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The trash Elsa's in Times Square.
The trash Elsa's in Times Square. They're there, too. But, like, no, if you're a character, you are only that character. I think that's a Disney
wow.
through line. Yeah.
Mm.
So, yeah, he works really hard. And I think there are two whole reindeer. Because they sweating in there.
I'm sure.
So it's like, you know, you don't want to put sure. someone else's funk on you.
Hey.
You got to be in there. He's like in there.
Depends on what night it is.
Hey. Truth.
What were my other questions?
We have two more questions.
Well, we definitely have two more questions. We ask everyone these questions.
Okay.
The first.
Get real in there.
But enough about me. Let's talk about you. What do you think of me?
What was your first impression of each of us?
Ever.
Oh my gosh. First impression. Well, I first know Steven from Mark Fisher Fitness.
Yes, ma'am.
I'm trying to think if I can
Which I also always think is so funny that we found each other, even though I had already found Kevin.
Yeah.
I found you on my own.
Yeah.
And I feel good about that.
I feel great about it. And Steven was just gorgeous and sweet and kind. We became fitness friends. There's something that, like, bonds you when you sweat with someone.
Oh, yes.
Right?
I think you're knowing that you are about to, get sweaty and gross and eventually look your absolute worst.
Yeah.
With other people, and especially at Mark Fisher Fitness, you go, right. and everyone kind of is like, I'm ready to see you at your worst. Are you ready to see me at mine?
Yeah.
Let's see how worst we can get.
It's a high five culture there.
It's totally definitely. A high five culture. And then you've been my stitching assistant when I've been doing those dance costumes and like under a mountain of spandex, like just not sure if I'd get through
it.
Steven came over and helped cut and sew and was awesome. You're a good friend.
I love it.
Yeah.
Oh, I love it so much.
I just knew you.
I love seeing
that good, kind heart. Yeah.
Of your work.
And then, Dana, we've met before at MFF?
Yes.
Yes. Okay.
Yes. And then you know how you, like, Facebook friend request everyone who works at Mark Fisher Fitness?
Yeah, of
or
course.
Is, like, maybe in your class? We never took a class, but you worked there.
Yeah, we were, Steve and I were what they called Rainbow Wranglers, which was sort
yes.
of their early sort of work-study program.
Yes.
Yeah.
I did it back in, did, like, Snatched in 2015.
That was my
great. What a great year.
And never again. No, I think it's 2015.
You've been good about your fitness lately.
I have.
Yes.
Thank you for that shout out. But yes, that was our original.
Yeah.
And then we're Facebook friends.
We're
so
Facebook
like, I'm
friends.
Aware.
Yeah. I
and
see
I'm
your
just
life.
Like, yeah.
A little bit.
I yeah. Just, isn't that weird?
Yeah. Always bringing the glamour. Always fun stuff. Yeah.
I mean, we curate our existence, don't we?
Don't we? Yeah.
She lives in Astoria near where you used to live.
Yeah, I was an Astoria resident for most of my New York years.
I love it.
I love it so much. I love it so much. Ooh. Best neighborhood.
Yeah.
I live in Harlem now. It's great, but it's not Astoria.
It's not.
Yeah.
It's very different.
It's very different.
But I can't wait to see that apartment.
Oh my gosh, you have to come over.
I can't wait.
You don't even have to work.
Anytime.
I won't even make you cut out chiffon wings or anything.
Can I bring my own chiffon?
Yes. BYO chiffon.
Our other question that we ask everyone.
Yes.
Hi-ho! Hi-ho! Hi-ho!
There are seven very well-known dwarves in history.
Yes.
If you were the eighth dwarf, what would your name be?
Sparkly.
Do we have dwarf twins now?
Oh, is there already
Was
Sparkly?
It Haley Pachoon?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh,
Haley
I
Pachoon.
Dressed her at Something Rotten, that
yes!
one track that I learned.
See how small
She's
the community
my dwarf
is,
twin.
Folks.
You guys are dwarf twins.
You know?
And
if
I
there's
think,
two...
I think that fits for both of you.
Yeah, that works.
Thanks.
Ooh.
Yeah. I think I was like, oh, did I pick a bad word? Should I choose something else?
No.
Is she named Stitchy or something? No, that's Stitchy. That's terrifying.
Oh, you know, Needle. Where's Needles the dwarf?
Joanne.
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 Joanne Fabrics.
Oh, no, I like Sparkle.
You
Sparkling.
Are a delight.
Thank you. You guys
And I'm
are.
So glad we had a moment.
This is really fun.
On a very busy day for you.
I'm so glad we like got a wardrobe point of view on our podcast,
yeah.
Finally.
It's gonna First. Be great. First
ward.
Yes.
And not last.
There are so many jobs in theater. That's one thing. If there's ever, like, children or there's a talk back at the theater that I can be involved in, is something that I want to tell young theater lovers,
mm-hmm.
is that I know that right now you want to be on stage. It is magic and it is fun and you find your people, right? Like, yeah. that's why we all love mm-hmm. theater. We found our people. But then if it... if goals change, if life changes, yeah. there are so many jobs. You can be a company manager, Brian DeCalloway.
I was going to say, Andrew Hollenbeck is like, he was like, if I knew that there was a company manager, if I knew what my position was
yes.
here at Aladdin, I would have done that.
Right.
You know, and I think that's great.
Yeah.
A lot of different people can live inside you. And like, I feel like, anthropologically,
Ooh.
People think that there's like one thing you have to do for the rest of your life and then you die.
Oh,
that's incorrect. You can go a whole bunch of different ways. You can try out a whole bunch of different things. Something
yeah.
might lead to another thing. Bianca Del Rio
yes.
was a dresser on Broadway.
Yeah. Roy is a brilliant draper, too.
Draper.
Worked in a costume shop building that stuff.
Hello.
Brilliant. So, of course, those skills translated.
Yes,
and
now
born
is
Bianca Del Rio, right?
Famous drag queen of all time, still a performer, still got to do that,
right.
still gets to do, I mean, there's it's unending.
Yeah. And sort
it's
of
beautiful.
Like cyclical, right? Because one gets to see the other and experience parts of different aspects of theater. Yeah.
yeah.
You can just.
You don't have to do one thing and then you die. Do
no.
a billion things.
Anthropology.
And then die.
Don't tell me what to do.
And don't tell me what to do.
And don't.
It's the first time I've sung post-strep. I had strep and the flu in a 30-day period.
Yes. Babe, you look skinny, though.
Thank you.
It's not important.
I kept
and
telling
I don't
myself that
illness for
so I'm on the
skinniness.
Couch and I'm just sweating and like I don't want
terrible.
Water. But you're so skinny.
No, it's so terrible. Oh, I'm glad you're feeling better.
Thanks, me too.
Ouch.
Z-Pack, man. Where can people find you on the internet and keep up with your glamorous lifestyle dressing
oh.
the princess sister, princess kitchen, pizza kitchen queens.
California pizza.
Wow.
Sister princess queens
yes.
of Broadway.
I have that Instagram. You can find me at Katrina New, but... K-N-E-W, K-A-T-R-I-N-A, K-N-E-W, Katrina New. Or find me on that Facebook if you're old school. That's it. I just use those two social medias.
That's it.
That's it.
And go see the theater. Go
and
see
come.
Frozen.
Go see Frozen. I saw it in Denver, but I have not seen it in New York yet.
Exciting.
So I would like to come and see the diff.
I think we'll be around for a little while, which is like such a blessing and what a comfort to
mm-hmm.
know that that.
And they just started their first national tour.
You can
literally
see it
a week ago.
All over the country.
Yeah.
yeah.
They're in Schenectady
in
as
soon.
We speak.
Yes. And productions are in the works for London and Japan and Australia. It's huge. It's all starting to happen.
So fun.
All those little girls and boys and their families getting those tickets.
My favorite is seeing little boy Elsa's.
Oh.
Or little boys in the gloves. Maybe gloves only. So sweet. Boy Elsa.
When I saw it in Denver, there were so many like mother-daughter Elsa combos.
Wowza.
Both in Elsa costumes.
That is the other funny thing. We've gotten some good
It was a joy.
Adult cosplay dresser-uppers.
I imagine.
So exciting. So exciting. Everyone's excited.
Come on. The cold never bothered them anyway.
It didn't. It never does.
And continues not to. 8 shows a week at the St. James Theater on West 44th
yes!
Street.
You're a doll baby, and thank
this
you
is
so much.
I love
thank
you guys.
For spending between shows with us on a Saturday.
What else?
Oh.
What else? This was great. Thanks.
I love you.
Love you too.
Bye. Bye.
Bye.
Bye.
In the Room with Stephen and Dana is produced by Stephen Farazee
and Dana Craig. Special thanks to Joel Wagoner for tinkling the ivories on our theme song. Hit him up at joelwagoner.com.
We apologize, and you're welcome. We'd also like to thank Jesse Wiener, W-I-E-N-E-R, for our jazzy original music sprinkled throughout each episode.
You can find him at jessewiener.com.
Last but certainly not least, we'd like to thank Kevin Thomas Garcia for taking all of our ridiculous photos. You can find him online at ktgnyc.com. We are all over the internet on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at In The Room Pod.
Follow us, like us, share us, pimp us out.
And don't forget to subscribe to In The Room Podcast. We everywhere, so subscribe. And thank you so much for listening.
Thank you so much.
If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. And there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard.
So you were being crucified over here, but yeah. Not there.
No. No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.
Hey, it's Leslie Odom Jr. here on the Broadway Podcast Network to tell you about the RISE Theater Directory, a program of Maestro Music. RISE is a national online resource designed to connect and empower backstage and administrative and creative theater professionals from underrepresented backgrounds. If you work or aspire to work in the theater community, this can help you find your next project. And if you hire theater professionals, search the RISE Theater Directory to find your next team. Create your profile now and get more information by visiting risetheater.org. That's theater with an RISETHEATRE.org, because only together we rise.